What I know is that daylight savings wasn't established until World War I. If it's 3 p.m. now, okay, that means in 1776, it would be 2 p.m.
Right.
You're a genius.
Yeah.
Do you actually know who the first person to suggest daylight savings was?
Benjamin Franklin.
History's strange, it's alien, and it won't give us what we would like to have.
The McPherson Financial Group bringing you hour three of this Tuesday morning, which means it's time for Dave Does History. You can catch up with what we're doing at BillMick.com, where the headline today is The First Amendment Does What? That was our 7 o'clock hour. If you missed any of that, the podcast section at BillMick.com and the Bill Mick Live iHeartRadio channel. As we jump into history this morning with Dave, we're going to look at something we went through, what, 2 weekends ago now. Switching to daylight saving time, and twice a year, it's aggravating. It's an hour. It aggravates your pets because you're trying to adjust your sleep and they're waiting for their bowl of food to be laid out for them. And they're not patient about that generally, and whatever other aggravations come with it. Dave, what got you looking at this week?
I love the film National Treasure with Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite films. In fact, I watched it yesterday, kind of trying to get ready for this. I love that film because it is so bad at history that it's enjoyable. I don't know if you're familiar with Philomena Kunk, C-U-N-K, who does a BBC documentaries called Kunk on Everything. It's so bad at history that you feel like you're in on the joke. I feel that way when I watch National Treasure. It's one of those movies that I watch because it's funny to me that people actually believe this. On the morning after the time change, the Monday morning after the time change, a family member who shall remain nameless but was my daughter, tweeted or posted on social media that she, quote, hates Benjamin Franklin, unquote. And of course, I had to know why. Why does she hate Benjamin Franklin? And as it turns out, Bill, did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented daylight savings time?
So I've been told.
Do you believe it?
I have no idea whether to believe it or not.
I mean, it was in the film.
Creative God, right?
It was in the film National Treasure, so I guess it must be true.
And we're back to kick it around in 60 seconds on Bill Mick Live. Dave Does History on Bill Mick Live. Dave Bowman taking a look at the inception of daylight saving time. Look, here in the free state of Florida, Dave, we like the idea of more daylight at the end of the day. It gives us more time at home after work to enjoy whatever we like to enjoy outside, or just a little more daylight for whatever purpose. So
I like it too. I mean, I don't like the heat of the summer per se, but I love the fact that up here, the sun doesn't go down completely until after almost 10 o'clock. We regularly can't do our fireworks on 4th of July until almost 10 o'clock at night because of the daylight. But that said, daylight savings times is one of those ideas that has been around for a long time. You know how the ancient Romans did their clock?
I have no clue.
So in the ancient Roman times, the daylight was divided into 12 hours. So no matter how long the day actually was in June or in December, it was still 12 hours long. You just adjusted the hour so that it was 12 equal parts to the day and 12 equal parts to the night. Make sense?
No.
Well, it did to them because they didn't have trains and airplanes and radio show schedules to imagine a radio show under those conditions. In December, your 3-hour radio show would be about an hour and 40 minutes. And in June, it would be almost 5 hours. So depending on the time of day, right?
Yeah,
it would work out that way. That's not really workable in the modern era, and it really wasn't workable by the 1700s when Benjamin Franklin was in Paris and was bemused by the way that Parisians behaved. And so in 1784, he penned a satirical essay, which he put under the guise of an economical project for dimming the cost of lighting in homes. In other words, they could save money on candles. He humorously suggested that they could economize on candle usage by rising earlier in the morning to use the morning sunlight. So in other words, what he was saying was Parisians are lazy. But he also said early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? He didn't invent daylight savings time. It was a joke. And he, of course, he lived his own life in accordance with the natural daylight hours. But there you go. Before 1918, however, there were multiple attempts, particularly here in the United States, to adopt this idea of daylight savings time. Now, these early efforts met with some success and some interest because people looked at it and went, well, maybe it makes sense. But then again, we're Americans and we do things our own way, so we don't really care. By the early 20th century, there was a notable advocate, a guy by the name of William Willett, who was an Englishman, because of course they would come up with this, who consistently campaigned for daylight savings time. And this influenced an American by the name of Robert Garland, who lived in Pittsburgh, probably a Steelers fan, and he would become the father of daylight savings time in the United States. He would spearhead the establishment of the Pittsburgh-based, quote, follow me here, Daylight Savings Association, unquote.
Okay.
So he formed his own little group to advocate for daylight savings time. Now, I guess that's the way we should do things, right? And they began to advocate for politicians that would support the establishment of daylight savings time. And, well, there you go. They advocated for the shift to extend daylight hours to benefit health, productivity, and conservation of resources. Because there is this belief that by extending this out, we will save energy, and that's nothing new. That same belief was held in the first years of the 20th century. But it isn't until World War I when the government had a, how's this for a phrase? The government had a compelling interest
in
conserving energy resources. And so the government began to seriously look at this. Now, by that point, they had also noted that Germany, Imperial Germany, had also adopted daylight savings time for pretty much the same reasons, to conserve energy. Now, in the case of Imperial Germany, they had a huge problem, which was that they were being blockaded. They weren't having the importing of materials that they needed. And so they needed to make themselves more efficient and more effective. And they did that with two ways. They would tell you that daylight savings time helped. A bigger assistance to them was what's known as the Haber-Bosch process, which is how they created nitrogen out of thin air. And that actually, and we don't have time to go into that whole thing, but in essence, it was the creation of fertilizer from thin air. And the idea that Haber came up with was we need nitrogen fertilizer to grow more food. What he somehow or another either intentionally missed or unintentionally, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, he said knowingly missed, was that it was also the key ingredient in munitions. And so Germany was actually able to make munitions for another 2 years that they shouldn't have been able to because of the scientific breakthrough that we still use today. You buy it to put on your lawn, ammonia-based fertilizer, nitrogen-based fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
So the general idea was, well, the Germans are doing this, and look how well they're doing from a efficiency standpoint. Maybe we should look at this as well. And so it was that in March of 1918, March 19th, as a matter of fact, of 1918, as you mentioned in Today in History, that the Congress of the United States enacted the Standard Time Act, which not only put the nation on what was then known as wartime, not daylight savings time, but wartime, bumped all the clocks forward an hour, but it also actually established the time zones that we know and love today because everybody loves them, right?
Mm-hmm. Unless you're traveling west to east.
Or east to west. I mean, when I moved to the West Coast from the East Coast after almost 20 years on the East Coast, man, it was hard. Man, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm like, man, I'm ready to go home. But it, you know, it has that play on you. It does change how things work. But of course, this was done not just for productivity purposes, Bill. This was done because trains, they needed to keep the trains on time. And it was virtually impossible to create schedules that would work without it. They couldn't get things to run the way that they were supposed to run with all these different, as they had at the time, different times, and different places could set their own times, and there was no standardized time zones. So in 1918, the United States Congress sat down and said, well, what can we do to fix this? And they would pass and adopt the U.S. Standard Time Act. And we'll talk in the next segment a little bit more about some of the details of that. But what you need to understand is that, like many things, the government had a compelling interest, and they said this would increase productivity. I think we'd argue that today. Secondly,
well, I think the argument here in Florida is it increases leisure time.
Well, that's a form of productivity, right?
Well, for you and me, maybe.
Certainly would be for me. I like baseball in a nice warm evening with the sun not shining directly in my eyes like you would get in Bakersfield.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. Although, man, did we have some nights.
Yes, we did.
Various locations, Allentown, Pennsylvania, burning up hot, 7:30 on an August night. It was, yeah, it was back to daylight saving time with Dave Does History when we continue. Stay with us.
Weekly dive into history. Dave Bowman joins us on Bill Mick Live.
The McPherson Financial Group bringing you this hour, 321-768-1240. We'll let you get in our next segment. We're going to continue taking a look at daylight saving time and when and how it was implemented and what the reaction was. Real quickly, it is primary election day across the state of Florida. Some jurisdictions having municipal or other elections. We do not. We have just the presidential primary, which means here in Brevard County, only Republicans can go to the polls. Well, the rest of you can go. You just don't have anything to vote for because we're a closed primary state. We've had 1,209 voters at last tabulation so far this morning, a 13.63% turnout. We'll catch up with Timbo Bannick and the results and the ongoing after the election on Thursday's show. Right now, let's get back to Dave Bowman with Dave Does History in this daylight saving time. So, 1918, we put this thing in play, Dave, and the reason was we're in war, we want to be more productive, we want to save resources, and how did we take it?
Specifically, we wanted to save fuel. Now, here's where I kind of fall off the wagon with the establishment of daylight savings time in 1918. The inclusion of daylight savings time in the legislation was aimed to conserve fuel by reducing the need for artificial lighting in the evening hours, thereby optimizing the use of daylight. Energy was being used primarily for the war effort. Navy ships in those days used a lot of coal. It's one of the more fascinating subjects that we don't have time to get into about coaling Navy ships. We had giant ships that just carried coal for other ships. It was pretty amazing. The idea here was that you would use natural light. This would contribute to national efficiency and resource conservation. But the question is, how much of the country was actually using electrical light in 1918? Now, I don't know the answer to that, but that's a question I'm going to be looking at because it can't be that high. And so I don't know. Did the government really have a compelling interest or not? But did we believe them? Because we knew that they were lying. So those are questions.
All they did, yeah.
The reaction to it was about what you would expect. If you had to guess, how do you think people reacted?
They didn't like changing the clock. Many of them operated their lives by the daylight anyway, because we were more agricultural than we are today.
Some people appreciated the extra hour of daylight in the evenings. They found it beneficial for after work activities and leisure. I'm assuming they were in Florida.
Yeah, we'll take them here. Yeah.
This ostensibly, by the way, contributed to health and fitness, making people happier. And it was particularly true in urban areas where the change was seen as a modernizing influence that would enhance commercial and social life. However, the change was not universally welcomed. Most farmers, which are the second most blamed group for daylight savings time. If it isn't Benjamin Franklin, it's because of those farmers. That's the other one you'll hear. That's completely not true, much like Benjamin Franklin. Most farmers strongly opposed it because it disrupted their schedules and the natural rhythms of their livestock, which, by the way, don't adjust to the arbitrary change in time.
Yeah. We need to teach them to read clocks, Dave. Right. Come on.
Since agricultural work was less dependent on artificial lighting, farmers didn't see much benefit in the shift, emphasizing that their routines were dictated by the sun rather than the clock. Much like the Romans, that's what was going on with them. Lastly, there was a lot of confusion and a lot of inconvenience. We were talking off the air about how Bill missed a flight one time because of not reading the clock right. There was a lack of uniformity in observing daylight savings time because some places just said, we're not doing that, and didn't. Well, how do you know? I mean, as we've talked about, I go to Arizona State University online, which is in a different time zone sometimes. And then sometimes it's in the same time zone, and then sometimes it's not. And so when is something due? Or if you have an appointment with somebody, what time is that actual appointment? Because is it their time, my time, or our time? It was confusing to people, and it was so irritating that people were like, we don't like this. And of course, that would lead to further problems, and it would lead to...
Let me ask you,
was that a permanent change when it was announced at that time, or were we going to flip back to standard as we do these days?
Well, they were going to flip back and forth, depending on the time of year.
Okay.
But even that wasn't politically acceptable, which would become an issue very shortly.
So, Dave, we're talking about repealing this thing?
Well, here's the problem, Bill. The reason this thing was passed in the first place was because we needed to have wartime efficiency.
Right.
So we passed it on March 19th, 1918. Does anybody see a problem here, or anybody see a potential? When did the war end? Anybody remember? Bueller?
Oh, recall.
November 11th, 1918. That's when the armistice is signed. Now, of course, the peace treaty isn't signed for another year or two, but the bottom line is, for all functional purposes,
we're over.
It was over November 18th or November 11th of 1918. So what, 8 months later, the war ends. So now you start getting a whole lot of blowback about, well, why do we have to keep doing this stupid thing if the war is over and the reasons for conserving energy are no longer applicable? The farmers were still really mad. The farmers were still resistive because not only did it disrupt their schedules and their natural cycles of crops and livestock, which, by the way, still are not affected by the time change. Even crops don't read clocks either. So, but the bigger problem they had was trying to coordinate with markets and other services that were still operating on standard time. So you got to get your crops to market. How do you do that? Well, if you say to somebody, be here at a certain time, and they don't show up because they're on a different time thing, it's gonna cause some confusion, which is what was happening. Mm-hmm. There was a lack of uniform implementation across the country anyway. It affected trains. It affected shipping. It would have affected your airplane flight if they'd have been around then. But even local businesses were finding it difficult to operate efficiently under the patchwork of different times. And given these challenges, there was diminished justification for it. And so in 1920, Congress said, okay, you got to keep the time zones, but you don't have to keep shifting. And so they repealed that portion, kind of the act. Said, nah, all right, you don't got to do that no more. You still have to keep, you know, Eastern Standard, Eastern, Central, Mountain, and West, but otherwise, have at it. And so
well, the time zones do make sense, right?
In the broadest part, yes, they do. Because, you know, obviously, if you're in New York and you're calling somebody on business in Los Angeles at 3 a.m, they're not going to be real happy about it. But
not a good thing. Yeah. Right.
And likewise, they've gone home at 3 p.m. when everybody in L.A. is finally up. So, yeah, they repealed it. But of course, a bad idea rarely dies that easily.
Wonder if we can get to that permanent status. One or the other. I'm ready to say either. Pick one. Let's go. We prefer daylight saving time, but really, let's just get it behind us. And we'll find out when we continue.
Something to add to the conversation? Call Bill now, 321-768-1240.
The McPherson Financial Group bringing you the hour. Dave Bowman with us with Dave Does History, taking a look at the implementation of daylight saving time. And it was done for a couple of years, and then it was to be repealed in part anyway. So we still have our time zones, Dave. So where's that leave us sitting as we look to pull this together?
Well, of course, that was in 1920 when we repealed it. But most people were just sort of, almost said a bad word, were just sort of halfway following it there. They weren't completely, I almost used a Navy term, sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
But, and of course, in 1942, we go back to war. And at this point, the government once again has a compelling interest to save energy. And now the country is far more electrically powered, and oil is an issue. Oil and coal are an issue. So they want to save energy again. So we go back on wartime for the duration of World War II. And then at the end of World War II, we go off of it, so forth and so on. In 1966, Congress passed the Daylight Savings Time Law, known as the Uniform Time Act, as opposed to the Standard Time Act. And in essence, what this did was it made it uniform. In other words, you're going to do this. They gave the states an option in 1966. If you don't want to participate, your state legislature has to have a vote. And if you vote not to, you don't have to participate. Some states did that.
Thus, we end up with Arizona and Hawaii being where they are.
Bingo.
Yeah.
So this is kind of where that came back. And then they also established it as the last Sunday in April and the last Sunday of October is when the shifts are made. Now, you'll notice that that's no longer the case. So, of course, changes continued to happen. In 1974, and Bill and I were talking about this a couple of breaks ago, we both remember this very well. Mm-hmm. Richard Nixon, President of the United States, energy crisis. Well, what do we do when we got to conserve energy, Bill? We go to daylight savings time.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will use less energy, except that, I don't know about where you lived, but where I lived, which was Denver at the time, we still had to get up in the morning to go to school.
Yeah.
Which meant that we had to turn the lights on.
Earlier.
And I remember very distinctly, there's a photograph on the front page of the Denver Post of children walking to school carrying flashlights because it was still dark out when we went to school. The idea was to make better use of the daylight savings hours. Of course, it didn't work. As I recall, and maybe you recall better, as I recall, there was a lot of resistance to this. There was a lot of anger about it.
Not in the circles where I was. We didn't mind.
Well, there was a bigger issue about the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. I remember my dad being very angry about that. But all this stuff kind of went in there. And then, of course, when the oil embargo ended, everybody went back to normal. In 2007, Congress had to change the act again because they'd made some mistakes in 1966 when they drew the lines for the time zones.
And so they redrew them in 66.
They redrew them in 66. And they had to redraw them again in 2007 because they screwed up, of all places, Idaho, which is hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine anybody even cared, but they had to do that. They also extended it, as we know. And then again, they would change it later to the Daylight Savings Time Act of 2000 and whatever to extend it back into March. And now into November. Now, the question becomes, we've seen numerous states, your state, Florida, has done it. My state has done it, Washington, passing laws saying, this is stupid. We want to stop doing this. You see all kind. Remember, one of the things that it was said to have done in 1918 was improve health and happiness. Well, is it doing that? And if it's not doing that, why are we? How many times we see the story about how many heart attacks increase and stress levels increase, and
is there an economic reason that longer daylight in the evening is more beneficial? People go out to eat more, they spend more money on their recreational activities when that's the case. Is it economic as opposed to health related?
I would think so, but you know, again, big time may be controlling this. Who knows? The bottom line is,
who's in charge of that?
Well, Timex? Congress, I guess.
You said big time.
Well, big time is behind the scenes influencing Congress, because your congressperson down there is one of the people that pushed for this law, right? Rubio? Or I guess he's a senator.
He filed it in the Senate after the state of Florida voted to, and he filed a bill the year they did it, which to his credit, great. And he's just recently reintroduced it, and we're not seeing any action on the House side. I don't know if the Senate's voted on it yet either, but I would like to see this get through. Let's get it done. Forget changing time, just leave it one way or the other, and I'm the point, I don't care which it is.
Which would sort of imply that somebody is lobbying against this.
Little time?
I don't know, because I know that there are at least five states that have passed this law, plus you've got a lot.
Florida Power and Light?
Well, and see, that's what I wonder. If the purpose of daylight savings time is to conserve energy, it certainly doesn't seem like most of the energy companies really want you to do that. PSC.
Well, we need to do that for the electric cars, Dave. Come on.
They just jacked up our electricity rates up here. And of course, maybe California, where they're always begging you to stop using electricity. Anyway, the point is that many states have tried to do this, and it, for some reason, is not working. Some reason it's not passing. And the question then becomes, why? And can we change it?
And we continue. Your call's coming up. 321-768-1240. We're a minute away on WMMB. Well, the state's already voted to make daylight saving time permanent. How you feel about the idea? And I'd like to see it get implemented. And what would be your arguments if you went otherwise? We get to your calls momentarily. Dave, let's start with this talkback call. It comes from Daryl.
Hi, Bill. This is Daryl from Melbourne. I have a comment on daylight savings time. Why don't we split the difference and go shift it a half an hour and call it a day? Really enjoyed the show. Really enjoyed Dave Does History. It's excellent. Thank you. Bye.
Daryl, thank you. Appreciate those kind words. I know Dave does as well. Half an hour would really screw it up, wouldn't it, Dave?
It would. And for the record, there have been countries and states that did that. So
how did that play out?
It just creates more confusion and more difficulty in coordinating schedules. Keep in mind that a time zone is roughly, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, roughly 15 degrees of longitude. Roughly. Now, that's not exact. But even within that 15 degrees of longitude, the sun's going to be in different positions across those areas. So 4 o'clock to me, the sun is in a different position than it is for someone 15 degrees west of me.
Right.
So there were people who did diddle with it with the half hour and stuff like that. It didn't work out very well, but yeah, they
didn't
did
work for planes and trains and scheduled meetings and the like.
Right. Now the question is, if we could change it, which would you go to, standard time or daylight savings time?
For me personally, it'd be daylight time, and especially here in Florida, where You have all the recreation. You have the extra time in the afternoon. You get off work. You have a couple hours to play some more golf or to go out on the boat or whatever.
I tend to agree, but I also live much farther north where it's a little bit different. If we went to full-time daylight savings time on December 21st, my sunrise would be at 8:57 a.m.
It's a little late in the day.
Yeah, it is. Now, do I care personally if it's on the back end? I don't. But how does that save energy? And when PSE is screaming for people to save energy, for people that have to be in the office at 8 a.m., they're still going to have to burn lights.
And the argument you hear is about kids at bus stops waiting to go to school in the dark, and that would extend that farther than it needs to. Line one, you're up on Bill Mick Live. What do you think about all this?
I think it's an extremely interesting conversation. Wow, I've learned so many things. Thanks, Dave. Mario Garcia, Cape Canaveral. Hey, I lived in Pennsylvania for a while, a couple of years, and I noticed that the Amish they continue to keep in mind that the government-controlled society that they have to do business with keep a different time. So they keep that in mind. But they themselves do not practice this daylight savings thing. And I kind of liked that idea when I heard about it, and I talked to some of those people about it. And they have a tremendous independence from the government. But in any event, I really love this conversation, Dave. You did your homework, and I am so impressed.
Mario, thank you. We appreciate it. Line two, you're up on Bill Mick Live. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill and Dave. It's Scott in Melbourne.
Yeah, Scott, fire away, buddy.
Hey, Dave, I wondered if you ever considered that the either failure or refusal of the federal government to act on the will of the people, because there's a lot of states that don't like this daylight savings time change, and there's, I think, 66% of the people don't like it, and they want it to go one way or the other. Have you ever considered that just another sign or symptom of the size of the federal government and its inability to act on a simple solution to a simple problem that they created?
Great question, Scott. Dave?
Well, yes and no. I mean, yeah, it's an example of this, but I think if we were to dig deeper, there's got to be some reason why they're not doing it. And that's the question nobody's asking. Nobody's cornering these congresspeople and saying, why aren't you doing this? Why has Senator Rubio's bill not been taken to the floor? Why has it not been taken to the floor in the House? And of course, it comes back to, I know we don't like to hear this, but who's in charge of the House right now? Our side. So why haven't they done it?
Yeah.
And nobody's asking that question.
Yeah, I know we've asked that question on many issues through the years. Line three, good morning. Tell me what you're thinking here.
Hi, Bill. It's Joel.
Yeah, Joel, go ahead.
I think Congress is doing us married guys a favor. You're single, so when you go home at night, you still have time to do things. All daylight savings time does is extend the time I can have to do my honey-do list when I get home from work. So, personally, I like the normal time because I get home, I eat dinner. Oh, honey, it's too dark to have to work outside now. Oh, darn. With that extra hour, now you're extending my honey-do list time.
Well, it's for your health, Joel. So you're out actually being active and doing things, my friend.
Oh, that's it then. So they're doing it for my health.
It's okay. For your own benefit. See, it is. Government, yeah. Acting for your benefit. Maybe. Who knows? That's funny, Joel. Dave, we're at about a minute here. Fire away,
so,
sir.
So my wife works nights. So for me, it's great because I can take her to work. The sun is still up and I can go do whatever I want to do still with the sunlight. See? So,
or the bookstore.
Yeah, the bookstore, which is where I'm headed today to rescue books. So that's, I don't know. What do you guys think? You can send me an email, dave@thedavebowmanshow.com. I personally favor going to permanent daylight savings time, even though it means my sunrise would be at 8 o'clock in the morning, because it doesn't affect me, but it would affect other people. And
getting up as early as I do and having to be here at 6 a.m., I kind of like it daylight earlier. Of course, for radio, there's other reasons for that. That's transmission of the signal.
And that's something we got to keep in mind. And so I don't know. Yeah. I think there's as many different opinions and there's no perfect solution.
Well, that's true.
We got to try something.
It's perfect time to talk about it. And that's when Dave's with us here. Dave, thank you. Appreciate it. McPherson Financial Group made the hour possible. Wide open Wednesday tomorrow. Election day continues. Turnout's growing a little bit. Not quite 14% yet. Dave Bowman, we'll see you next Tuesday, my friend.
See you then.